May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So my daughter's holiday concert was this past Wednesday. And my daughter plays violin in the orchestra, but on this particular concert, the orchestra gets together with the band and the choir and about 300 different musicians. And it's wonderful and spectacular. And one of the delights of the evening for me, in addition to listening to my daughter play, which I always love, was that the choir did this wonderful, spectacular rendition of Mary, Did You Know? Do you all know that song? Okay. Because I thought, this is one of my favorite versions of it, and I was listening to the choir, and I was listening to this end bit, and I was thinking about our gospel today. All right, you're going to have to take my word for it. Because it turns out my jambox, which used to be loud, now believes that we should all sing meditatively. But there's this song begins by asking Mary, did you know that your son would walk on water, that would heal the blind, heal the sick, and it comes to this end piece and says, did you know that your son would be the Lord of all the nations, the Lord of all creation? And it's beautiful, it rises to this crescendo, especially when you have a choir of something like 150 kids to sing it. And it's beautiful and wonderful, and I've got to tell you, every time we come to the end of it, what I really, really, really wish would happen is that somebody dressed as Mary would stand up and say, yes, yes I did. Because our gospel today shows us that yes, Mary really did know what God was doing. That she really had understood that when the angel came to her and told her about this miraculous pregnancy, that she believed him when he said that the son she would bear would take the throne of David and would rule over the house of Jacob forever, and that his kingdom would have no end. And the reason I know this is because when Mary begins her song in response to Elizabeth, she says, the Lord has done great things for me. Okay, at this moment in time, she is a pregnant, not yet married virgin, and that's got to have been challenging. At the moment, to be able to say, the Lord has done great things for me, you've got to believe what the angel has told you. Because at the moment, it's just a difficult to explain pregnancy. But Mary has heard the words of the angel, and she believed them. And she has listened to the prophets of the scriptures. She has heard the stories about how God has worked in the past. And even though she is just a unwed pregnant virgin from a minor village somewhere outside of the main areas of Israel, she has believed that that's not ridiculous. She has believed that that is indeed how God works. And so when she has a vision of an angel, and when her cousin says, blessed are you among women? She goes, yeah, I am. The Lord has done great things for me. That's a remarkable thing. So Mary, did you know? Yes. Yes, I did, because the words of the prophets told me this was perfectly reasonable to expect God to do. Yes, I did. Because the words of the angel told me this was going to be an amazing thing. Mary, did you know? Oh, yes. Yes, I did. the words of that song, Mary, Did You Know? They're not really expressing Mary's incredulity, are they? They're not really expressing Mary's doubt that this is reasonable and that this is how God works in history. They're expressing ours. Our sense of how difficult it would be to believe that this child, born to a teenager in the outer edges of Israel in an unimportant village, a child born that would be laid in a manger, would be the Son of God, the King we have been waiting for, the Savior of the nations. How can this be? And so we go back as well and listen to the prophet. And we hear Micah saying, well, this baby will be born in Bethlehem. And what Mary knew was that Bethlehem is the home of David. You may have heard of him. He became a little bit famous in Israel because he became one of Israel's greatest kings. But David starts out as the eighth son, who is so unimportant that when the prophet Samuel comes and tells Jesse, I am here to anoint a king, Jesse tries out all of his sons in order, and he doesn't even bother to call David in from the fields where he's watching over the sheep, until Samuel looks and says, is this all the sons you've got? And Jesse goes, no, there's one more, but you know, he's just a boy. God chooses younger sons. And Mary knows that. And Mary knows that God chooses barren women, because her song lifts up the song and echoes the song of Hannah, who gave birth to that prophet Samuel after her prayers were heard. So Mary knows these things, and so her faith lets her believe that God would work this way. And I find that profoundly inspiring. Because it's hard for me to believe that God works through young girls and barren women and unimportant younger sons in places like, Westford. Out where there are sometimes goats, if not sheep. And it makes it hard, and I sit there and I believe, what is God doing? How can God be working in this place through a suburban 40-ish mother of two who got up this Sunday and couldn't even make her jam box work? And how can God be working through someone like me in a place like this? And then I realized that Mary really had that exact same experience. How can God work through a person like me in a place like this? And she went back and she thought about the scriptures and she thought about the angel and she said, oh yes, God can indeed do that because God has done it before. Mary, did you know? Oh yes. Hey Suzanne, did you know? I think I'd better say yes too. As we come into this Christmas season, as we come into a world that is struggling to believe that change can happen, that we won't always be trapped in the same cycles of violence and of fear, as we live in a world that struggles to believe that this Christmas could be a little different from all the other Christmases we've known, the start of something new, the beginning of a world in which peace is possible, we often feel helpless and isolated. We feel like nothing we do matters. We feel like we're not important enough for God to work through us. What difference does it make if I go to church? What difference does it make if I bake a meatloaf for the hungry? What difference does it make if I call my legislator? What difference does it make in any of the things that I might possibly do when the problems of the world are so big and they need a big problem and a big savior and they need somebody who will come and be Lord and God of all? Except that God starts in places just like this. God starts with people just like us. Because he did exactly that so long ago with a peasant girl in a little tiny village called Nazareth. He did it when he chose a king from the shepherd, the fields of sheep in the town called Bethlehem. He did it with a baby boy born in a stable of no particular power or wealth. He's done it before, and he will do it again. And it is our task to prepare ourselves, to open our hearts, so that when we hear God calling us, when someone asks us, "Did you know?" we can say with absolute confidence, "Yes." Amen.